You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Good morning, traders. I hope you guys are ready to get started on another morning right here with the number one morning pre-market prep show. I'm super excited to get into today's show. We got another great one for you. We're going to talk about what happened in Carnival. Man, we got to get into this conversation. Let's just say someone at Morgan Stanley is putting out a note out there, and we're going to talk all about it. NIO stock falling also on a Grizzly Research report, short report on out there. So if you guys didn't see that, we got a great guest today, Christian Fahmhertz, founder and CEO of Tribeca Trade Group. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on FedEx, Shopify. We can even touch Bed Bath & Beyond. Looks like the CEO is leaving the company. We'll talk about those earnings also. Let's get into it. And like Joel said, the boys are back in town. No, the Bears are back in town. At least that's what it seems like. We'll get into it with, of course, Joel Alcon and Dennis Dick. Hit the like button. Let's get it started.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's bring on the traders, Joel Alcon and Dennis Dick. I will have to go ahead and give us a little bit. Why not? Copyrights, copy schmites. Who cares? Let's do this. Let's get it started with this. Good morning, traders on out there.
You're getting fined for that for sure. The fine's coming in for that one. That's a no-doubter.
I'll pay that one. Don't worry about it. Hit the thumbs on up.
Do you know the algorithm for Google is already on that? Do you know that they've already
something? Oh, yeah. They'll text. You'll get an email within 20 minutes on that.
Thin Lizzy. We talked about that on the close. It was Thin Lizzy. So, should I just tell Raz right now that the fine's coming?
Don't worry.
Be like, all right, whatever.
I heard Raz will pay for it. That's what I heard.
Okay. I tell you, folks. We dipped yesterday because there's nothing in there, and we're going back up this morning because there's nothing in there. We just had that. No,
you got this figured out. It wasn't a buy program.
Yeah, buy programs take the market up, sell programs take the down.
That's pretty much the truth.
There's nothing in here. I wish I could give you some levels. We're up 12 and a half handles, 38.38. Crude is continuing to rebound off that hit from last week, up $1.42 at 113.18. And gold is up $6, 18.27. Silver, it's above, trying to get above 21, up 9 cents at 20.97. Bitcoin, I did see it in the 19 handle, But the unusual whale buyers came in, and now it's off that low, back into 20,000 handle, down $90 at 20,085. And Ethereum, that's down $34 at 11,1850. So let's bring in the best person to talk to on Wall Street while they're losing money.
Ha! I don't know about that one. It's one of those days where, while the markets is ripping, ripping, ripping here, the S&Ps, but stocks are trying to follow now. If you would ask me 20 minutes ago when S&P went green, I was like, the only thing green on my screen is oil and a couple of banks. Now there's been some other stuff. Now you're starting to see a little catch-up trade here. Now my P&L is actually starting to look better because of short SPY and long stocks. And I'm like, I'm losing a lot of money right now being short SPY and long stocks. That doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense, but it has come in. My P&L actually, I believe, just went green. It did, which I was heavy red. And I guess I should have added to it. Just short more SPY, buy more stocks, because a lot of these stocks come back. So it's interesting in the pre-market and the after hours, you know, how stuff can lag to a certain extent. But right now, the stocks are playing a little bit of catch-up. When I tweeted about 25 minutes ago, there was nothing hardly trading green.
I saw it, S&P yeah.
started going green. Now you're starting to see some stocks roll into the green. So I'd say it's like a Christmas tree now, where it was all red. I got like 200 of the major S&P components, and there was like oil was up and a couple banks, and that was it. Now you're starting to see some stocks go green. So I'm seeing it's like 50-50 now, actually probably skewed more to the green side here now. So we definitely got a rally on our hands, but you got it right, Joel. I mean, the reason we're going down, the reason we're going up, there's nothing in here. Nothing in here, meaning there's just air. So we're going to bounce around. We're going to have a lot of chop. I predict that's going to be the case until the next CPI number.
All right, Mitchie, what do you got for us?
Let's go. Let's go. Let's get into it. God, of course, I already saw in the chat, Bill was on top of it. Yes, Morgan Stanley. And before we get into at least Morgan Stanley, we could talk about what was the announcement before that one. Right before that one, Barclay initiating coverage on Carnival with overweight rating, announcing a price target of 14. This might have taken your eyes looking at Carnival, but then right after, Morgan Stanley analyst here, Jamie Rollo, has remained cautious on the underweight rating on Carnival, and then coming on in with the new slashing of the price target. Let me go ahead and put this as a banner down at the bottom so you guys can read that. Definitely analysts slashing the price target to a new street low of $7 per share from 13 to reflect lower future fiscal year 2020 EBITDA guidance, mirroring weaker than expected occupancies, weakened pricing, elevated unit costs, and higher fuel costs. He also went a little bit further than that.
Just a wee bit further there.
And jumping on in here, also introducing a new bear case of zero in case a new major demand shock is materialized. And what does he mean by this? So he said, if the high yield market closes and if there is a demand shock that causes trip cancellation or weak booking, hence customer deposit outflows, liquidity could shrink. Even then, liquidity looks unsustainably high, we think, with net debt remaining at $30 billion for the foreseeable future, nearly triple its pre-COVID level.
So just reading between the lines, he's saying if we get another COVID wave, that wave might knock over those cruise ships into the abyss.
Well, right before the pandemic, right, they had all these boats that they wanted to put out, right? And they were doing a whole kind of they have, I think, three boats that Carnival was bringing out. And if you look at Norwegian Cruise Lines, they also had a bunch of boats that were coming out. So I think it was just it was as bad as timing as it could ever be for the pandemic and these companies. And now you're seeing it. I am going to actually jump in here and say I am one of those customers with deposit outflows. I do have credit on Royal Caribbean. I did take my cruise.
You're not going to go?
I am going to go probably next year, but right now, you know, with all the moving around and all that, I canceled my cruise, took the credit, and now I'm just holding the credit. I have about 1 year to use that credit, but just kind of stating that this could be the similar thing that you're seeing out there. Trip cancellations.
I think it's just obviously it's a perfect storm. They cannot have decreased demand now because we know the costs, fuel costs are higher, the deck costs are higher, everything is there, their costs are going to be up. So what the analyst is basically saying is that the demand has to stay up. And if for whatever reason, for any reason, the demand drops off, the cruise ships could actually have a liquidity crisis here, meaning they might not be able to pay their bills. So at least he's saying that for Carnival. So, I mean, all the cruise ships are getting hit hard. We've said it. We've been talking about Carnival Cruise Lines, just saying, what are they pricing in here? Because we are back very near the 2020 lows when they weren't sailing. So now they're pricing in like basically another possibility of zero. And so the MS analyst is just stating the obvious here. This is a distinct possibility. I think we actually mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the show that there's a non-zero chance that this could go to zero. So meaning that it's, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's possible. So I would agree with the analyst. It's a bold call to make. It's why the stock is trading down so much here today. You very, very, very seldom see an analyst come out with a bear case of zero on a stock. So it's going to get headlines. It's going to get press. I've seen it mentioned twice already on CNBC. Yeah. It's the big loser of the day. Carnival Cruise Line is taking the other cruise lines with it. NCLH is down 4%. RCL, which I just so happen to be long overnight and getting killed on it, down 3.69% as well. So not a fun day to be long the cruise lines.
You know, I mentioned Dana a lot, but Emily used to say instead of on purpose, she'd say by purpose. Do you think that Morgan guy did that by purpose, just to sack the BCS rating?
Maybe
he doesn't possible. Like. He doesn't like the guy or something because...
Well, Barclays rating came out right after the bell, and that Morgan Stanley paper came out later for sure.
Yeah.
It might be. You sometimes see that. They're like, oh, yeah? You
Jamie was sitting at his desk and was like, watch this one. I got one ready for you.
You like them apples? How you like them apples?
But first of all, if you were listening to Benzinga's pre-market prep show on Monday with Tim Quast, the Quastinator, he talked about this. He said there was a rally in this and, you know, there was still a lot of short supply out there and not much demand. He said, and then I did that as the stock of the day. And he said, if you're long it, you should think about taking profits. Now, of course, he didn't know what was going to go on. I'm not selling this thing down 77 cents, right? I mean, that's a huge move. And I don't even think you have to rush out and buy it today, but I'm looking at that move. You had to move basically from what, 870 to just under 11 bucks. You got to be right around the 50% retracement. I would say if it holds in here for a day or two, then, you know, maybe you could dip your toe in the water. I mean, this is a big move on the downside. So yeah. I'll let the dust settle, see if it can hold. You know, there's probably a daily low in this area too. Also, maybe some people that got caught in the short here, or maybe that are still short that Tim talked about might try and bring it in. But these things, I mean, if we get another wave, I mean, I wouldn't want to be owning these stocks. I'm not too worried about
there's
that.
There's so many puns here.
Yeah.
The COVID wave, the big waves, the perfect storm. There's a lot of puns here.
I didn't like cruises before the pandemic.
Yeah, you never were.
Except to Alaska. You got to take a cruise to Alaska.
I want to do that.
Yeah. But I'm just, you know, and I bet you those people lining up for those midnight buffets, you know,
That's the best part.
Pulling out a Weight Watchers card, you know, and giving it to them.
I like the buffets too, but
Joel, you know, you're like me. You eat that pizza and work out in the morning.
Well, what's
Joel's always working out. He's like the most fit 80-year-old.
I am. I didn't get in the pool today though because it was 55 and a little bit raining.
And you can't swim 55.
At 55 in the morning? Nah, 55, that's pretty cool. The water would be warm, though. But, wow, Weight Watchers, it's $7. Have you looked at that stock in a while, Dennis?
But nobody's watching their weight anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to watch your
the
weight?
Oprah, $105.
Yeah, where's Oprah?
Oh, my. What a disaster. There's so many of these stocks, Joel, that are just disasters. I mean, this has got to be... And again, I know the S&Ps are down 20%, but this has got to be one of the ugliest bear markets that took so long to become a bear market. I mean, Weight Watchers, and not that anybody was actually invested in Weight Watchers, I hope, but $105 a share in 2018. is right back down to $7. I mean, there is massive, like, people keep thinking there's a lot of bad stuff priced in. I don't know what Weight Watchers, wow. but I'm probably never buying a stock like that. But there is a pile of other stocks that just have been absolutely killed. I mean, you see Carvana yesterday. Like, bring up this one, and let's just go into it. I mean, CVNA, when everybody had to own everything at any cost, when, you know, rampant stupidity was running around in 2021, $376 a share. That is less than a year ago. It's now $24. Its debt is yielding like 17 or 18%. At least that's what CNBC was saying. I don't confirm that because I'm not a debt trader. So if you, but I mean, if you got debt running at those rates, it's a good possibility that this stock is in trouble. And yeah. is there a possibility CVNA goes to zero? Absolutely. Is it going to go there for sure? Nobody knows anything. But I mean, you think $24, how can you go wrong? It was 376. It's going to come back. If that stock, here's a lesson for everyone, a new lesson. If a stock goes to zero, when you buy it at $24 and the stock goes to zero, you are just as dumb as the person that bought it at $376. You lost your entire investment. That's the fear of buying these stocks, because we don't know which ones are zeros. And I'm going to promise you, there are some bankruptcies coming. I don't know if it's Carnival Cruise Lines. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, they're not all going to pull a Revlon and go bankrupt and then rally 300%. That's not going to continue to happen. There is a lot of bankruptcies coming. And I don't know if it's Carvana. I don't know if it's whatever, thousand EVs or SPACs or anything. But I'm telling you, some of them are going to zero. Some of them are going to zero. And if you're buying these things, you know, 90% off the highs, what can you lose? Your entire investment.
Joel and I see some gold.
Wow, look at that. CarMax makes you want to go out here. Okay. So, you know, a couple
What are you
weeks,
looking at? What are you looking at?
CarMax. Yeah.
That rejection of 100. Yeah.
Look at those monthly lows. But
Sal, Mortimer. Sal. Just my
you know,
opinion.
A couple weeks ago, I ripped up my Barron's and I said I was going to cancel my subscription. Well, I didn't. And
on the cover?
Well, this I don't mention it anymore, but this was the cover this weekend. Can you guys see it?
I see it now.
Yeah.
What is it?
Tower of Trouble.
Oh, Carvana. Now I'm bullish. You're turning me bullish on Carvana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barron's
yeah.
always car gets vending the bottom. Machines.
Well,
they always sell the bottom.
Yes.
Barron's sells the bottom, just like Facebook. Barron's likes to sell the bottom. So now I'm cautious.
Uh-oh.
Be careful with your Carvana. If Barron's is coming out.
Joel gave the Barron bottom.
The Barron bottom. They're good at calling
the Barron
bottom.
You see, they should be calling this the Barron bottom. You see, they should hire me, man.
Yeah, well, this is go through it in like 5 minutes. Like, I don't read the articles. It's like watching our show from like last week. But what they said is that they're selling cars, but they're not getting the registration to people. Like, there are people that are buying the car, and for whatever reason, they're like this one person that I actually read the caption under the picture, and it said that that they like three different times they tried to get a registration, they couldn't get the registration. They said that they just like gave the car back. They couldn't get, so that's bad if you're selling cars and you can't get the registration to them. So that, I didn't read the whole article, but anyways, that thing got killed. What about, why is CarMax still so high? Is that have a different business model? Do they?
It's yeah, but I think CarMax actually makes money. CarMax actually has, you know, I at least last time I looked at it, this isn't, you know, a stock trading, you know, on hope and dreams. This is a company that's been established for a very long time.
Okay.
So completely different animal here. I mean, go to the Benzinga Pro. Sometimes it's a good thing to look at the fundamentals and do our due diligence.
Let's
I don't
do
it.
Bring
enough,
it up,
probably.
Mitch. Do you have
Bring
it
up. Show it, Mitch, too, if you can, in the Pro. Show how we do this.
Yeah,
you know, go to CarMax.
Do it.
Because
I'm
this is a company that
just
makes money.
Share screen here. Just
big, big
second.
Difference. Big, big difference when you got companies that burn cash and companies that make money. So right, CarMax,
yeah.
Bring it up. I got it in front of me, too.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's
P's 15,
here,
Joel.
Guys. We can go
companies
into...
made money for a long time. So, yes.
Mitch,
established,
go to the calendar. Go
makes
to the calendar.
Money slightly
here,
different.
CPE here.
Yeah, but go to the calendar, because this is what I like to do on the calendar.
Okay. What do you want to see? Earnings?
It's just you can just look, you know, like you can look and you can see, you know, some green there, right?
Yeah.
You can see, you know, surprises. You could like you see green
area.
Okay.
We're kind of watching here.
And some increases. And now the CVNA.
Let's go to it.
wait, look at the debt first on CareMax. So CareMax debt. Let's look
at the
debt.
Making money. They ain't now.
Yeah.
Dennis
yeah, there is a lot of debt in CarMax too, but
long-term debt about 17.7.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Forward-looking is at least we have on Pro at 15, industry average at 10. Interesting to kind of keep watch. We'll see what happens with CarMax. I think this is going to be one that, at least, I mean, I look at this, at least that chart stood out to me like a short opportunity. I'll keep on watch to see if the relationship keeps coming down, but
this I don't looks interesting. Easy setup here for me, and then I'll let you go, that's Dennis. What I, go, I mean, go, right go. Here, this is the monthlies. I mean, you know, that you got three, let's call it $85. You got to stay in the bull camp until it takes out 85. Three monthly lows right in that area. So that's where I'm at on CarMax.
I think I'm laying off CarMax, period, because I think there's so much. I think the Carvana story could even get uglier, and it just might drag CarMax down with it. Not saying CarMax is going to go down, but it might bring the stock lower. So it's tough, man. There is certain stocks that I am buying. Maybe CarMax could go on a shopping list. Carvana's not going on the shopping list, I'll tell you that much, though. Not even close to going to be on the shopping list ever. So let's keep talking these stocks, though, because yesterday was an ugly day. I said I think the ARKK bottom is in. I said I think if we get a pullback in the 40-42 range.
Yeah,
did. I think I said if we get a pullback into the 40-42 range, 50% retracement of the move, I'd be a buyer. So am I going to be a buyer? Because I didn't think it could come in one day. It was a little spooky that it hit it that hard. 35, let's do 50% retracement. 35 to 46, $11. About $40. About $40 to give you a 50% retracement. I think ARKK could bounce at 40. So I do think, I don't know long term. Again, like I said, I wouldn't buy ARKK long term because I just don't like her investment strategies. But short term, I think it turned. It did turn. Did it turn again yesterday? It was an ugly, ugly day for growth. So it might have. But 40 to 42 was where I was saying I'd be a buyer. We're coming in there. I think first time down at 40, I think ARKK bounces at 40.
All right.
Let's see if it gets there.
Let me give some comments here from Wood, just because we've always been talking about how she's always been stating deflation.
We should just call her Wood. Why have we never done that? We always call her Kathy, Aunt Kathy, you know.
Not just Wood.
We call her lots of things. We never just called her Wood. That's just a good name. Like her last name is just a good nickname. Wood. I like that. Let's get some comments from Wood.
We were wrong on one thing, and that was inflation being as sustained as it has been. Supply chains can't believe it's taken more than 2 years in the Russia invasion of Ukraine. Of course, we couldn't see that. Inflation has been a bigger problem, but it has set us up for deflation. Thought that those comments were pretty interesting there. I mentioned yesterday on, of course, Swapbox.
She says the same thing. You want to know like how confident she is? She's completely bag holding so much stuff that she doesn't even trade anymore, Joel.
I know.
You might as well unsubscribe from the ARK transactions. She used to make like 50 trades, 8 trades. She makes like one trade a night, and it's like some small little trade. She doesn't have any, she doesn't make any trades anymore, even. I don't even know what she's doing anymore. What's she doing over there?
So, I like how the chat's stating there too. She said that she was wrong on only one thing. Only one.
What did she say?
She said we were wrong on one thing. Not like we were wrong on many things. We've only been wrong on that one thing.
She only had one stock green. Tesla it was for the longest time, I believe.
It's tough right now, man.
She had like 35 positions. Somebody said she's down in 34 of them. I mean, that's impressive.
Also, innovation solves inflation, right? we'll see what goes on out there. But definitely, ARKK is in the battle. We'll see if this is a bottom put in. There's definitely some bottom on the chart. Now, let's see what happens out there with the growth stocks. If they continue down, or is there continued kind of the value beating, right? But let's go into some other headlines on out there before we get into Christian Fromhertz. If you guys are excited about that, let me know in the chat.
Let's love Christian.
Of course. Let's go into NIO news. I think that's important, definitely, to touch. Let's let's go. And the stock is falling on the Grizzly Bears research report, you know, that is they target the EV maker. This is actually one, and you guys can look at live trading yesterday. I was looking at NIO for a short, didn't get into it, and I'm like, because I saw the news of China, you know, kind of releasing some of the international travel. I had seen this one run for a couple of days now. It looked like a moment to kind of finally sell the news. It was on the rumor moving on up there. For reopening. And also LI came out with the offering yesterday of $2 billion at the market. But what was in the Grizzly note? In the Grizzly note, you'll see a lot of comments of what they're talking about first is concerns about cooking the books. We've always heard about concerns about cooking the books in Chinese stocks. Oh, they go a little bit further into this. If you guys want to take a look at it, I would go into the research report because it's very long and extensive. They talk about NIO's battery asset manager provider, and they're talking a little bit further on that has happened before. Another note in there also includes risk of margin calls. So there's a lot in here I think that you guys need to kind of keep an eye out. They did state about how in 2019, Lee transferred 50 million shares to establish a fund to give shareholders greater governance, but then pledged these shares to UBS to secure a personal loan. NIO stock has declined more than 50% since that pledge. And so they believe that an unknowingly exposed investors to a potential margin call here. So a lot to kind of mention. I would go into the report, but of course, NIO definitely taking a hit on it.
Oh, I just can't touch. I don't know. I'm not into the EVs, so why in the hell am I going to buy a China EV? So,
well, that's what they sell the most. I mean, at least
they say. Now you're telling me they're possibly cooking the books. But I don't know. I'm just staying away from. If I was buying a China stock and I said, you know, as trades, I think you can on the pullbacks here. Mm-hmm. It'd be Baba. It'd be JD. Be Baidu. I'm not going to go any further than that because, again, these smaller ones, you know, I don't want to get DD'd. I don't want to get, what was the Starbucks of China? What the
Luckin Coffee.
Luckin Coffee. Luckin baby.
Coffee.
It was not Luckin.
Oh, God. It wasn't lucky at all.
That's like, it's multiple symbols, Mitch.
LC
something.
You stay with that one?
I just check it out. I love to see bankrupt stocks. See how they
is it bankrupt? I don't even know what it is.
What, Dennis, you should know.
Did it ever exist?
On the OTC. I think it's still on the OTCs. That's what Joe's talking about.
I think it's, come on,
too.
Help me out, Chad. I don't want to look
too many symbols. Once they're over four symbols, I'll see
NXY or something.
Me too, Dennis. It's hard to remember.
Four symbol limit, man. I mean, got time. You know, it takes time to type in those other symbols. Slows you down. I'm in a hurry all the time. Three or four. You got five? I stay away. Five symbols? No, thank you. Simple rules. Going on page 6 of my trading book. You got more than four symbols, more than four letters in your symbol?
Here it is.
I'm not interested.
LKNCY. Thanks, chat. You were really quick on that one.
You see, this is why we have to chat.
LKNCY.
I got it up.
Beer guy.
It says $12.96.
Little
bill.
Did they
do some reverse split or something? That's pretty good.
There
you have a long term chart. Show the long term chart.
Here's the monthly.
So it's come back.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. It's come back a long ways. I'm actually quite impressed. I would have thought it was a buck. So I don't know. Anyways, they like fake companies apparently. So I don't know. I know nothing about this stock. So
yeah, I'm not touching it either.
I stay away.
Let's move into what do you guys want to touch? Shopify or Bed Bath & Beyond? What do you guys think here?
Do Shopify. When's the split?
That's what we're talking about right now.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, we missed this one. It ran up into it, too.
Did it run into it, too? Oh, man.
A 10 to 1.
It sold right off the day before, though. I would have been like, if you stuck around too long, it would have been ugly. Look at this. Yeah. Why in the heck do they do that split now? Like the 10 for 1. It didn't naturally split itself. The stock came down enough. What was the stock price when they announced that for the first time? They should have aborted mission.
Let me take a look at that. I'll try to take a look at that right now.
It was a while ago.
I'm wondering if it was like $900 or $1,000 they announced the split. And then the stock obviously did its own split a couple of times since then.
Yeah.
Canadian Ottawa, darling. I still love the company. The stock price has been nosebleed forever. I will rebuy this stock one day. This is not a zero. I'm going to say it right now. Shopify is not a zero. I'm fairly confident of that. Is it April a $35 stock? Is it a 30, 25? I mean, at a certain point in time, it's going to be a buy. I don't know when that time is.
April 13th, Dennis, is when they did it. So it was in.
It was $700. Then yeah. It split. So then it split 2-for-1, natural pricing action. Then they split her 10-for-1. Looks kind of weird.
I know.
Target PE on. It's hard because Shopify is still growing. So you're never going to get Shopify at a PE of like 20 or 30. If it was a PE of even 35, I think I'd back up the truck. But what's the PE on Shopify right now? And the problem is it's just barely making money if it is. Let's go to our trusty Benzinga Pro. Let's look up the PE on Shopify. Oh, it's losing.
I have here
still.
55. 55.
Ooh. Yeah, and the problem is they're in that last quarter they lost money. Oh gosh. So now I don't know. 55 is one too high, but then they're losing. I don't know. Get down. Tell me when PE on Shopify is 25.
Not like that. When the PE is 25.
So everybody tweet at me. So all my followers, everybody tweet at me when the PE comes down to 25 or 30, even 30. Tweet at me when it comes down to 30 on Shopify. So if it gets cut in half one more time.
Exactly. That's
gets
what
cut
I was
in half
looking
one
at.
More time. One more split.
17.
Buy on Shopify.
17
one more split.
Around there.
$18.
Now
we'll even say 20.
There's resistance.
$20. We got to buy some Shopify $20 if it gets there, if it ever gets there.
There's some consolidation on the next level down right around 17 and 18. So I could see that happening.
You guys are getting carried away here.
Where would you buy Shopify? I like the company. I would buy it somewhere.
It went 30 to 40. So if it's going to hold, it's going to hold here at 35, right? A monthly low at 30.53. That was in March of 2020 when you had that low right there, 30.53. Maybe we'll do the Amazon trick, right? Because this is what Amazon did, right? It had the run up into the slit, right? Boom, 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 boom. Then it came all the way back down, market dynamics, all right? Yeah. And it got a little rally. That rally failed miserably as of right now. Spoos just went red again, Dennis. Holy
they are
macro.
Choppy. Shop.
There's
you can
nothing
shop.
In there.
Nothing
There's
in
nothing
there.
In there. Dennis, you got to put out some substantial
Q1,
spy
poor
bids.
Price. Oh, gosh. We just had PPI come out. We're sleeping here, folks. We're too busy talking.
Come on,
Shopify.
Mitch.
PPI just came out, and it was 0.1% higher than expected.
Shocker.
Oh, no, it was GDP. What was it? What came out? What came
it
out?
Was PCE. PCE.
What the hell? PCE, GP, GDP, PPI. I can tell I'm an economist.
Yeah, PCE
what
came
out?
Out here. PCE.
We need to know what came out.
Prices for Q1, 5.2 versus a 5.1 estimate. Prior was a 5.1. And then
that
also
was PPI.
Look at-
That was PCE. I'm
PCE,
wrong.
PCE, guys.
Wasn't PPI.
PCE.
I just saw. I was like
PCE.
Scared.
PCE. You guys
GDP
have it,
came
and then
out too.
You
GDP
got
came
core.
Out too. What's the GDP number?
Getting that out right now. Here, I'm giving
we
you.
We have
guys
multiple
before.
Numbers. John says we're bad. Here. You want to know something? I'm going to say it again here. If you're sitting here as an economist trying to predict the markets, you are in the wrong business. I am not an economist. I took 8 economics courses. I know nothing. About the overall economic data. Nothing, nothing, nothing. But you know what? Right. I've made money every single month in the markets for 22 years consecutively. You can check my records. So, and that's not in my long-term portfolio. That's in my trading portfolio. The long-term portfolio can obviously go down. So,
PCE, guys.
You
PCE.
Do not need to know economics to be a trader. So, put that on page 8. Take your economics numbers and throw them out. All you need to know is CPI or anything that's, you know, inflationary data. But we see PCE prices. What is PCE? I don't even know what the hell that is. What is USA core PCE prices? How is that? What is that? Do we know?
It's also a measurement of inflation. And there's a couple of measurements of inflation that we kind of rely on. And we do CPI.
Do we know what PCE? I don't even know what it stands for. Chad, help me out. I'm not an
economist. Consumer. All right.
So it's the personal income and outlays
expenditure
report.
Price index. So this is new for me. I'm learning something about the economy.
It reflects the changes in prices of goods and services purchased by consumers in the United States. So essentially, it's the kind of the changing of the pricings of goods and services. So a lot of people like to use PCE as a little bit more forward looking than CPI. But of course, that's all, like Dennis just said, it's economists kind of playing that game there. But pricing here, Q1 5.2 versus a 5.1 estimate. Prior was a 5.1. So it doesn't seem like the estimates were too far off by a 0.1. Also for the core, that it's including there, and GDP off also by 0.1.
I think they're lagging, though, man. They're such, you know. Well, supposedly this is a number that the Fed looks at. I don't know where I heard that, or if I'm making it up. But everybody's
preaching that it's the GDP moving the market. Hey, here, I'm going to tell you guys something. The market fell 4 points. None of these
market was
really
leaking before that. It was
leaking way before 4 points on the S&P. 4 points.
There's just nothing.
We fall 40 points. We got to know what the hell's going on. You fall 4 points. Oh my gosh. We fell 4 points. Well, we just rallied 25 points on nothing from 7:30 to 8:30. So we got to stop worrying. If you're a newer trader, one more rant. If you're a trader that makes so much money watching economic data, by all means, continue to do it. But if you're a new trader trying to figure out how to make money in the market and you're looking at economic data to give you buy and sell signals, you are in the wrong business. These economists suck at trading. They're good at, you know, economic stuff, but they suck at trading. So again, make fun of me all you want. You know what? You're going to see my June numbers in 2 days. They're pretty damn good. So make fun of me all you want that I don't know PCE or I don't care about the GDP. Make fun of me all you want. The number that matters is the CPI.
So one thing to talk about on PCE and what does it do is it measures two areas, right? We said the goods and the services. The goods category is in two subcategories. It's in consumer durable goods, like long-lasting items such as cars and washing machine. And then it has non-durable goods in households, which are used quickly, like groceries and clothing. Services are a function of business provides, so households don't have to do with it itself. It's more like government, nonprofit, household workers that also offer services. So we could talk about examples there would be like dry cleaning, yard maintenance, financial services. And personal consumption drives almost 70% of the economic output. That's why they would say this is important here.
We started leaking right here, right, folks? That was in like 808, right?
Mm-hmm. And there's also mentions- 808.
No, we did take a spike down on the whatever the hell.
Right here. This is 8:30. So it did have a move.
We took a spike down on it. It moved down 5 points on it.
But yeah, the meat of the move was from like 808, 809. And as far as the dry cleaning indicator, I mean, I never go there anymore. I mean, I don't wear any nice clothes. And I talked to my guy, I've been going to him for like 25, 30 years. He said he's not back at 65, 70% pre-pandemic. He just can't get back because people aren't going into the office wearing fancy clothes. So that's my dry cleaner indicator. Shout out to Chris. He's incredible. It's Christian.
Christian from
Christian. I wanted to give him a second.
He wants to talk PCE.
So let's bring on Christian Fromhertz, guys. If you guys don't know Christian Fromhertz, I will say definitely give him a follow on Twitter. I've been following him for a while. I watch his daily recaps from Tribeca Trading Group. So let's go ahead. Let's bring on the founder and CEO here, Christian Fromhertz. Welcome to the show. Or welcome back, actually.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're taking doing a lot of heat from the chat.
Yeah. Because we slept through the 8:30 number. Can you stick up for us,
Christian? And they all hate us. They all say we're idiots. So, Christian, please bring on some smarter people that know what the hell the PCE is. You said you could talk PCE. They're saying it wasn't even a PCE number. I saw it on CNBC. It said PCE. So I guess CNBC is wrong, too. What data came out and talk to us about economics? Because Christian knows a lot more about economics than I do.
Well, we had a couple things that that came out, and I agree with, you know, basically, you know, I love your guys' analysis every day. You guys are just on point every day. But this is the one. This is one thing. Probably I agree about 95% of what you guys say. But I think this is one thing that's the economics, I think, are actually important. And the reason is because, you know, what the Fed is doing right now is really driving the market. Right. We know that we've got another Fed meeting coming up where they're looking at 75 basis points. It's kind of an unknown what they're going to do thereafter with what the speed, you know, of the increases, rate increases, and the size of them are going to be after that. So, you know, if you kind of take the next derivation of that is, well, you know, what's driving them to increase interest rates, right? And again, you don't want to fight the Fed, right? Which is a famous saying. So I think it's important to, you know, monitor what the Fed is saying and the speed of the increases. But then you take it the next step. Well, what are they watching so closely? They're watching the inflation data, right? That is going to give us some clues about,
for sure,
you know, whether or not they're going to be, you know, if they've got the hammer down on more rate increases. So it was very difficult. It's always very difficult to listen to when there's these congressional testimonies where Powell spoke, you know, two different days last week in front of Congress. It's very noisy. It's the questions that that Congress, you know, asks are ridiculous. But, you know, and that's why, you know, half the time you're sleeping during these things. But if you listen to what Powell said, you know, there was a question about inflation. You know, what do you watch? And the number one thing that he said was, I watched the PCE deflator is something that they closely monitor. I know FinTwit loves the CPI report, but, you know, he said that they also do look at the CPI report, but the number one thing that they do watch in terms of like economic reports, I'm sure they watch other data points. You know, they probably have a whole bunch of different things that they analyze, but they did say that the PCE deflator. So we got the quarter number today. Tomorrow is the month over month number, which is the sensitive number. So that's tomorrow. And I think tomorrow could really be, you know, it's also quarter end. So I think tomorrow is going to be an interesting day. But if that number comes in, they're looking for a 0.7 tomorrow for the PCE deflator. And yes, I think that's right now, unfortunately, these are very important things, because if that number comes in less than expected, if it happens to come in 0.3 or 0.4, this market's going to take off. If the number comes in worse than expected, then you're probably going to see a little bit more of the same. But yeah, the market is going to be really, you know, for the next couple inflation reports, that's going to hinge a lot based on, you know, the overall direction and the risk taking that's going on right now in this market. I don't really think, you know, a lot of big institutions are going to want to, you know, really add a lot of risk until they start to see the inflation start to come in a little bit.
Okay. Completely agree with everything you just said. And I think if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know, I'm watching the CPI data. If there was inflationary data coming in, I think it's important. I'm not sure how much the GDP matters right now. That's what broke. That's what, you know, why the market went down 5 points. From my history, I don't look at economic data a lot, but I do. I have been saying, if you've been listening to the show, I'm like major cash until I see the CPI data start to tick down. So it's good that you're informing us. We got to be watching other inflationary data as well. And we're getting a good inflationary data point tomorrow. Because right now, I do believe, you know, you do need to listen to some, you know, to the inflationary data. But I just don't sit there on every economic data point and, oh, you know, I got to make my decision now because GDP came out.
Well, I go back to agreeing with you now because GDP is not one. It's, you know, if you've taken a basic economics class in college, you know that they talk about leading indicators, lagging indicators. The stock prices are a leading indicator. So that's, you know, number one is that a lot of times we'll see things that are happening in the stock market because it is a leading indicator. GDP is a lagging indicator. So yes, it catches the headlines and people love to talk about what the GDP, but it's a lagging indicator. And I also agree, like, I don't look at every one of the economic data points that comes out. I pay attention to the ones that I think are really going to move the market. And the inflation data right now is really going to move the market.
I agree. I agree with that. So we're back on the same page here, Christian. So, okay, let's
good. I like to be on the same page.
Let's take it to the stocks because this is a stock trading show. And I got to tell you, They pulled the rug out from this under this market yesterday. I did not see that coming. I thought we were going to get a little pullback. I thought we were a little overbought. I didn't think we were going to just tune them right up. I mean, there were stocks like Carvana down 25% yesterday. I mean, I didn't see that one coming. What are your thoughts here? I mean, how are you positioning yourself? You've been an excellent trader for a long time, Christian. How are you positioning yourself right now with all this volatility?
Well, thank you for that. I'm very nimble, very quick in this market. It's been, you know, no doubt a very challenging market. You know, we've seen a couple times now, we've seen these bear market rallies this year, right? And make no mistake about it, the trend is down, right? And I think everybody's kind of watching every time that we begin to kind of have one of these bear market rallies is, are we going to turn the corner yet? And again, go back to the Fed. It's going to be very difficult for us to really have this solid footing before the Fed kind of, you know, changes their tone, at least about, you know, the velocity of the interest rates. But I look for clues, you know, right now, you know, in terms of different sectors and so forth, which we could talk about a couple of them. But right now, I'm very nimble. You know, I really am trying. I'm more of a swing trader than a day trader.
Yeah.
So this market is difficult for me to really position in, because the more that we start to, you know, once the market rallies for a couple of days, you start to see this better participation. And usually when you start to see more participation and the breadth increasing, you know, in a bull market, those are good things. But in a bear market, it's been very tricky. And when you start to see a little bit more setups, they've been traps this year. So, you know, if you've gotten fooled once or twice, okay, that's fine. But you really have to be careful about getting fooled over and over with these bear market rallies, whether or not they're going to actually hold or kind of move back. And I think, you know, for me and how I've been trading this market is I just really try to take a lot of targets. And even if I, you know, these are not targets like, you know, in a bull market where, you know, I'm hitting more doubles, triples, you know, even like a home run here and there. This is a lot of just hitting singles market. And if you're not, you know, taking those profits when they're there, you can have a day like yesterday. And I agree with you. I didn't really understand the move that, you know, where the bottom just basically fell out.
Yeah.
And then even in the last couple hours of yesterday, you know, because you mentioned that, okay, if ARC gets to a level or if this sector gets to a level, you would be a buyer. But very difficult yesterday when there was no, you know, move off the lows whatsoever. And it just looked like, you know, whoever was kind of selling yesterday wanted the market to close on the very lows. Yeah. And it's just not the situation where, you know, if I would have seen a little bit of buying there in the last half hour, I would have said, okay, let me, you know, let me play a little bit of something here and there to kind of to buy the dip a little bit. But I don't like these days where we start to go lower. You know, and sometimes it's just a sell program or two, but you know, yesterday was what we've seen a couple times this year where there's just nobody's buying the dip and there's no appetite
and you could feel it. Like when I looked at the market, what's today, Wednesday, on Monday, you know, I had an average daily range projection of like 110, right? And that's how much, you know, including the Globex ranges. And at the end of the day, there was a 55 point range, and it was just up, and it was just basically no one, you know, the bulls were a little, you know, I'm not really buying big up here, but, you know, on the rally, you know, people are like, hey, we had a rally. You know, I'm sitting on some nice profits from, you know, the Quad Witch Friday. And it was just like one of those very indecisive days. I didn't like the price action the way we ripped up, you know, at last, you know, part of last week, because it was a lot of the move was overnight. So this is the back and fill area. What are you looking at, Christian, to determine, you know, we had the 36.39 low, we had the 39.50 high. I mean, I'm looking at the, you know, the 50% retracement that comes in right around 3,800. Also, the close last Thursday was 37.99. So a lot of things to me is like, if this market is going to hold, it's going to be, you know, 3,800. So what are you looking at to see if we're going back to test the lows, or we got to buy the dip opportunity here?
Yeah, I'm watching the same. I mean, that's, you know, I'm right on with that. I'm right around 3,800 in S&P futures is what I'm watching. And I do use an indicator that uses volume at price. That's the top of this week's value area. And I think that we need to hold that for this week. And, you know, and then, of course, with the S&P, I tend to look at a couple of different sectors, too, just to say, is anything kind of changing in terms of risk on, risk off and so forth? You know, one of the areas that I thought was really different over the last couple of weeks, you know, because it wasn't the defensive areas that were, you know, holding up very well. There was things like biotech that I thought was very interesting, because biotech was one of those sectors that I think, you know, can move first, or one of the first moves when you have a risk on or risk off move. Biotech was one of the first areas that really ran into problems last year. And I like the fact that it rallied hard off the, you know, off the lows last week. And, you know, I'm watching XBI, which is the equally weighted ETF. And I would love to see this hold, you know, it's back above its 50-day moving average. I would love to see this hold the 50-day moving average. I think that would be very constructive for the market if biotech, you know, and again, the XBI is equally weighted. So it's the small names too. It's not just the larger names and not just the big pharma names that are in there. But I think if something like biotech holds, I think that this market may start to change a little bit. If it doesn't, and if it starts to kind of break down again, then, you know, we've got more of the same, and maybe the lows aren't in for the year. But I think if something like that can hold, I think that's very constructive. And then outside of the U.S., you know, the Chinese internets look like they've bottomed for the year, right? And they've been showing all kinds of relative strength. Now, they're in a different cycle than the U.S., and that could be why that they're showing that relative strength. But I really like what's going on in that group as well.
All right. Now, one thing that I know Christian does always, guys, is definitely stay up with his kind of recaps, because he definitely checks out relative strength. So I'm going to go to you, Christian. What do you think about how energy is bouncing back here? I know that some names might interest you more than others. I'll let you go ahead and do that. But I'm playing right now XOM, just full disclosure. But we'll see what happens with energy. Do you feel this was more a correction, bounce back that has an opportunity to continue rallying, or do you see it as kind of demand destruction out there?
Well, so that's a really great question. And you know, sometimes what I tend to do after you've had a move in XLE, which was up at 92, and it really kind of got hit harder than the previous dips. You know, there's been a couple dips in energy this year, and every time it's kind of come back in and checked into the 50-day moving average and bounced, it's been very methodical. This looked a little bit different to me, where we really kind of, you know, there was a big profit-taking and selling going on in energy. So I usually once that happens, where it looks like it's a little bit of a different dip to me than what we've seen so far, I like to let the dust settle a little bit, you know, and just give it some time. I do like what's going on with oil, not for inflation purposes, but I do like in terms of for the energy sector, I do like what's been going on with oil the last couple of days. And in the area that I'm looking at, I'm looking at the refiners, which were the you know, one of the strongest groups in the energy. So I'm looking at PSX. So that's Phillips, and that looks to be, I like Valero as well, but I think Phillips 66 is showing some strength, and I'm looking at actually adding along as long as it stays above 88.50, right? And again, everything with this market, going back to, you know, what you guys asked me a few minutes ago, you have to have an out in every one of your trades right now. Always. You cannot...
Christian, here's the difficult thing, though, with this market, and this is why I'm doing very little swing trading this year. I had a great year, 2020, 2021 swing trading. I'm almost all active day trading now, and my swing trading account, I'm just day trading it. So it's so difficult, because, like, I'll put on a swing trade, and I'll be the first to say it. You know, I benefit, you know, mainly, you know, I'll do shorts and longs, but for the most part of my swing trading, it's biased long. You get stopped out of everything. It just seems like in this market, like, we're risk managers, and I, you know, you are as well, and that's what I am at the core. But, you know, day trading with shorter time price targets, you're good. But it seems like once you hold anything for 2-3 days, it seems like you just get stopped out of everything. And I'm finding, like, 90% of my swings I'm getting stopped out on. So I'm just laying off the swings for now. There's like a good, you know, and you were saying it before, there's a good environment for swing trading. There's a not so good environment for swing trading. When we're going like this, when you're a risk manager, you're getting stopped on everything. How do you not get stopped out on everything?
I do. I do get stopped out. And that's, you know, so it is what it is. And, you know, yeah. I think it's about, it's your position size is important. I keep going back and forth because, again, it's I agree very much about how difficult it is to swing trade. So my cash balance in my trading account has been going from 80% to like 95%. So I'm not, you know, going in back into the market like 50%. I'm really just playing with like 10 or 15% of my overall account and putting on a couple swing trades there. My position size is much less than it normally is. But yeah, I mean, and that, and like on a day like yesterday, you really have to have tough skin in this market. And yeah, I got stepped out in like three or four, you know, trades. And thank goodness it was three or four trades that I had already taken like two or three targets in. Like I was in DQ, right? So I had already taken two or three targets. That's a Chinese solar company. But I had already taken two targets in that. So I'm like, okay, I got to take the last piece off for a little bit under, just barely under my cost basis. But you really have to monitor things very closely. There's no, in this market, if you're going to be relaxed, you're going to have you know, very bad days. But if you keep, you know, if you keep bringing up your trailing stops, right? So if a trade is working for you for a couple days, you have to bring up that trailing stop and say, okay, I'm out as soon as it gets there. Because if you sit and you're like, oh, I'm going to monitor how the day progresses, like there was no bottom to yesterday. So you can't do that. So if you're going to play in the sandbox of swing trades, you've got to do things like put alerts at your cost basis, bring up your trailing stop. And that's the only way to do it right now to be able to kind of survive and advance and get on to maybe greener pastures in the second part of this year.
Definitely couldn't say it better. That's definitely what I see also in swing trading right now. And being quicker to the profits right now isn't a bad thing. I've seen you also make some of those moves, Christian, just be like, well, you got to take the profits when the profits are there, especially in this market. But
constantly make adjustments. I mean, you can't, just as Dennis was saying, you can't trade the, you know, what your system was a year ago. You have had to kind of change and move along with, you know, what we've seen this year.
Yep, definitely. You always got to have some tools in the toolbox. And if you guys want some more tools in that toolbox, definitely check out Tribeca Trading Group with Christian Fromhertz. Appreciate you coming on. And like always, guys, give him a follow. I did put his Twitter in the description below, so you guys can go ahead and just click on it and get that follow. Thank you, Christian, for coming on, and we'll have you back on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right,
guys. So much from Christian. I mean, he's so level-headed. He's so professional all the time. One of our best guests. And, you know, I go on my rants, and I'm kind of all over the place sometime, you know, scatterbrain to a certain extent. But, you know, he just made so many good points there. One, you know, obviously, you know, it's been a difficult environment for swing trading. Two is there is importance in some of the economic data right now, which I should say is, you know, the inflationary stuff. You can't just poo-poo it all. And, you know, sometimes I just, my mouth runs off and you start saying stuff, which you really don't, you know, which, you know, I do mean. I mean, I'm not making money off economic data, but I do respect the CPI data right now.
Yeah.
Anything inflationary data. And he's giving us other important numbers too, like tomorrow. So, I mean, there's so many good points that Christian makes, and he's humble too. And that's the one thing I love about him too. He's not coming on here and, you know, just telling us how he's, you know, kicking ass and taking names. He's humble as well. So thanks, Christian. I know if you're still listening, you know, you're one of the people I follow on Twitter, and it's very important to, you know, listen when you got, you know, good people like Christian come on the show.
Yeah. Also, with the economic data, it changes over time. Remember that we were focusing on the unemployment number for a long time, and that, you know, and back in the real old days, people used to, you know, focus on the money supply, and that was something actually that I heard Jeremy Siegel talk about yesterday. You know, that's, you know, just pulling, you know, if the money supply is shrinking, then, you know, that's a good thing. That's what the Fed's trying to do. But it's the economic data, you know, following it is important. We get the 830 numbers. We'll be more heads up on that.
We dropped the ball on that 830 number on GDP. We did. 100%.
I got a nasty email from somebody right now saying about that we missed that. get nasty emails.
We do get a lot. We get a lot of good emails too, though. So it seems like, and this is something I learned back, give you a Quiznos lesson here. You know, obviously I've done some very bad investments. People say I don't lose. I lost bad on that Quiznos investment back 20 years
ago. One more Quiznos story.
But they tell me one thing, and they did say this, that nine out of 10 customers that have a good experience will say nothing, but the other, somebody has a bad experience, I've even said this wrong. 90% of customers that have a good experience usually say nothing about it, but 90% of customers that have a bad experience almost always say something about it. So it's like when we get, you know, when we screw up on this show, they let us know, man. Like people will literally reach out to say how stupid I am. And I've got to understand that a lot of times people, you know, there's a lot of listeners here that actually do appreciate the show, that actually do come to listen to us every day, that, you know, but when you get these nasty emails like Joel just got, or you get, you know, the nasty Twitter messages, which, you know, if I say something negative about Bitcoin, 1,000 of them come at me. It's like, it's hard to just turn it off and ignore it. But sometimes I just got to say to myself that there is people out there that actually do appreciate the show. I mean, we've been going for 7 years, you know, it gets 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 views a day for a reason. So I don't think the show is trash, like multiple people have said here today. I mean, there's been probably 6 people in the chat that says the show is trash. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that do appreciate our show as well. So it's hard, though, as you know, you're always taking in feedback, and you know, the negative feedback, you always critique yourself too, right? You know, like, I know I'm a pretty good trader, a day trader. I've made money my whole trading life off of it. Do I know that I'm a good commentator in the markets? I mean, me and Joel, I think we've gotten better. You know, we did some voice coaching. We started this 7, 8 years ago, and we were terrible when we started this, like trying to talk the markets. You know, I went on CNBC, if you want to see something funny, in 2010.
All right, I'm going to hop.
My earpiece fell out of my earpiece fell out of my ear. I couldn't hear what they were saying, and I'm literally sitting there, and I had no idea how to even speak, and I was nervous. My heart was racing. It was a mess. And I got on there twice. In both interviews, I was just a mess on it. And I think it's a big reason why I never, ever got invited back, because I got on stage too soon before I was prepared to do it.
Okay, I'll catch you guys in a little bit.
Yeah, go, Joel. So, I mean, are we good commentators? Do we always say the right thing on the show when it's a live one-hour show? Does Mitch always say the right thing on the show? Did we drop the ball in the 830 number today? Absolutely. We're not going to be perfect. We're trying here, though. I mean, the show is free. We're trying. We're trying to educate traders. I don't know how good of a teacher I am, but I know I'm a pretty good trader, so I try to pass on those thoughts. I think somebody like Christian is an excellent teacher as well, and, you know, I can learn from those skills as well. So I think I don't have the patience to teach sometimes. So, but Mitch, I'll throw it back to you. I know we're running overtime here. So,
yeah, there was a lot of topics we didn't get into today. I definitely wanted to touch a couple topics, but I'll let Dennis go ahead and get on out of here. You can go ahead and get into your trading. Do what you do best, Dennis. Get back.
It's been
into
a tricky market. I'm just going to say, like, you're going to read on Twitter again. I'd say it one more time. People on Twitter, they never lose money. People on Twitter, you know, like, aren't humble. People on Twitter like to brag because they're not confident enough in their own trading. They need to hear it from you to make them feel better about themselves. So don't believe everything you read on Twitter. I'm telling you, this year, as traders, there's a lot of traders getting absolutely crushed. And if you're down in your trading account, you're like, what's wrong? It's a difficult trading environment. Christian Frommert said it. It's a difficult swing trading environment. I do pretty good in this choppy environment because it's my style. Buy, dip, sell, rips, chop. I kind of do okay in this. But there's certain markets that I don't do that well in either. So, I mean, it's like the swing trading. I've backed right off on it because it's not working right now. So I'm doing very few swing trades, both sides, short side and long side. So don't get frustrated. Stick to it. Better markets are ahead. We're not always going to be in a bear market. We're not always going to be in this chop fest. We'll have more trending markets. Swing trading will come back into favor. So just stick with it. Get smaller. Get, you know, nimble when it's not working for you. But stick with it, you know, and eventually we get into better markets.
All right, Dennis, you have a good one. Go ahead and get into the markets and do what you do best, Dennis. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping on up here. Like always, guys, you guys can come on over to live trading. We'll touch some tickers, touch some more headlines. One of the things that we've been focusing more is on the macro. So sometimes we aren't going to get to all the micro stuff that are out there, guys. But like always, you guys can definitely give your feedback and let us know. Hit the comments after the show. What do you want to see more or less of? That's what this show's about also, is you guys can run the show also. Trying to do my best to get through all the topics. Sometimes, I got to get a little bit more on ranging these guys in a little bit more. But, hey, I let these guys go. I let them be transparent, let them be fooled to their comments. And one thing I will try to do for you guys is try to get to some more topics. I have heard that feedback before. And the only thing I can do is just keep giving you guys the headlines. And if you guys want to keep up with all the headlines, I recommend you go towards Stock Market Movers also. That's a show at 1 p.m. Eastern, and I touch them all. I sometimes touch 15, 17 topics on that show. And the reason why is we don't get more in depth. And here we get a little bit more in depth, talk about the market. Dennis gives us a lot of his informational edge that he's seeing out there by trading consistently throughout the after hours and kind of the pre-market hours. So like always, guys, smash the thumbs on up. Come on over to live trading. We can touch some other topics. We can go into Triple BY, what's going on there. We can talk FedEx. And of course, stay tuned, 9 a.m. I know Powell is supposed to be speaking. So if you see the market coming down right now, Powell is supposed to be speaking. So maybe that was what started the drop in the first place. I know that that was dropping the European markets lower ahead of the comments. So it could be Fed Chair Powell knocking us down also a little bit further. We'll see what happens. Hit the thumbs on up. Come on over to live trading, and I'm going to get into some swing trading action. I got a swing trade on. I'm going to keep doing more swing trading. That's why I like Christian Frommhertz, because he trades very similar to the way that I like to look at the markets, which is focusing on rotation. Where is the relative strength? Finding those setups and trying to stay with the herd. Try to stay with the money flowing. Let's go ahead. Let's get into it. Give me a thumbs on up. Let me know what you guys want to see more or less of. And now let's go over to, of course, live trading action. Let me make sure the redirect is set to that. Boom, got it here. All right, I'll see you guys on over at live trading. You guys come join us with, of course, Lord Ryan Zunaid and I. Let's get to it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.